Okay, we're up to the last pasuk of Perek of Beis. The last pasuk of Perek of Beis. Chazisa ish mohir v'malachtai. Shlomo, the one who is the author of this pasuk, is coming to challenge us. Did you ever see a man that is mohir, that is brilliant, that is zoris, diligent, v'malachtai? L'fnei malachim yisyatzav. The bracha to this person is that he will one day stand before kings. He will not sit. He will not stand. Not stand. He is a sit. He will not stand before chashuchim, before dark people. Chashuch means dark or lasibo. Precisely here in this translation, it means low lives. Shefalim upechusim, people of low stature. Let's read the Mesuda Stavid pasuk of Tes. Chazisa kasher tira ish mohi v'zoris b'malach da. When you see chazisa over here, according to the interpretation of the Mesuda, this is not a command, which was really the symbol in its translation. Chazisa means you shall see, but he rather translates it kasher tira. When you observe an individual who is zoris, he's diligent, and mohir normally means brilliant. Mohir, there is no Mitsudos Tzion to give us a more precise translation, but it means a person who's very bright, lashon of light, like or. Okay, it means very. Here he translates a mohir vizor is brilliant and diligent. Melachto da, you should know ki soifa yamoid lifnei melachim l'shamsham, that he will be rewarded, that he will one day stand before kings to serve them. He will be up. He will be promoted to a position of dignity before kings. V'lo yavoy l'mida zo lamoid l'shamish lifnei shefalim u'bechusim. Will never happen that he will come to serve to this measure, meaning this measure where he will have to stand and serve before people that are of low stature, low social and dignity. These people he will not have to serve. Now what does Rashi say? There is no Rashi. Okay, the Medrash interpret this pasuk in reference to many individuals. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, one Medrash, Mos Rabba, who is this individual who is the Mohir and the Zoriz? Moshe Rabbeinu, he was Zohir in what? Which Malacha? The Malacha of building the Mishkan. A perfect medrash for this week's Parsha. The building of the Mishkan. Therefore he will stand before Paro. Who is the king that he will stand before? Before Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. And he will not stand lifnei chashuchim, means before Yisro. Okay, in other words, that we look at this pasuk in the big picture of things. In the big picture of things, the truth is there are many different interpretations. Let me read exactly what it says over here, and then we'll discuss other interpretations. This is Moshe. He is an Ishmo of his Zoris to bring the Makos upon Paro. He will stand lifnei HaMelech, meaning lifnei the Melech Malkei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah. And really, lifnei Melechim Yisyat Savu, I take that back, lifnei Melech Malkei HaMelechim, okay? And he will not stand lifnei the Chasuchim, which means before Paro, who is called the king of the Chasuchim, because the pasuk says, Vayichoshech Va'afela. Okay, so this is the first interpretation of this pasuk according to the Medrash. The Ish Mohir is Moshe. He was Mohir b'malachto in reference to being quickly bringing upon the Egyptians the ten Makos. In merit for his hard work of redeeming the Jewish people through the ten Makos, he would stand lifnei Malach before the Melech, Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai when he received the Torah. And Bal Yisyatsev lifnei Chas Shuchim, he will not stand before the dark people, reference to Paro, who is considered in this reference a dark person, the land of darkness. Okay, that is one interpretation. Now there's another interpretation that refers to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik vayihi kehayom hazeh vayovah habaisa la'asoy smilachtoi. He was a mohir bimilachtoi. He was very diligent in his work. He went into back home to do his work, and who did he meet up with? He met up with Eshes Potiphar. He had the Nisayon of Eshes Potiphar. He was omid in this Nisayon. The pasuk concludes in reward, Lifnei Milachim Yisyatzav. In reward for that, he became the Mishneh LeMelech, the Yosef and Shloshim Shana Bamdo Lifnei Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So the Melech here then refers to Paro Melech Mitzrayim. And Ubal Yisyatzav Lifnei Chasuchim, and he Yosef was not going to stand before the Chasuchim. And that refers to, Ze Yosef. The Chasuchim is Bal Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Okay, I'm not exactly sure. He Bal Yisyatzev Lifnei Paro Hechoshuch. He said Lifnei Melachim. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what it means over there, according to interpretation, the end of the pasuk. But it also refers to Yosef, who was Zariz B'Malachta. Okay, there are other people who the Medrash interprets this pasuk reference to. For example, Daniel. Daniel Ish Chamudos. Daniel was drafted to serve in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was very loyal and a very good servant and created a very great Kiddush Hashem. And according to the Medrash, according to the reward for his service, he stood Lifnei Melachim, meaning Lifnei the Melech Malchei Melachim, and built the Beis Hamikdash. In reward for bringing about a Kiddush Shem Shemayim in the palace of the Nebuchadnezzar, he was assigned when they allowed Koresh, allowed the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, he was the one that was given the charge, given the assignment to go and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. That's really a third person who we interpret this pasuk in reference to. Now, probably the most popular medrash of all of them all is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, it's also found in the Yalkut Shmoni and the Medrash Mishle over here, that the Rabbanon wanted to count Shlomo HaMelech among the kings that don't have a chelek in Olam Haba, because he worshipped idols, or he allowed his wife to worship idols, and he taxed the people too much. And they wanted to count among the kings of Melchelek. And he came to the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon is about, as they were about to do this, who did this? The Anshei Knesses HaGadoyla. And as they were about to count them in that list, he appeared to them. He appeared B'dmus D'yoknos Shel Aviv, meaning that he came to the Anshei Knesses HaGadoyla in the image of his father David. And he begged them, please do not count me among the kings that do not have a chelik in Olam Haba. It's a shocking thing to say. How can you say about Shlomo HaMelech? We're reading over here his Sefer. The Mishle is authored by Shlomo HaMelech, and we are to say that he does not have a chelik in Olam Haba. It's shocking, but that's what Chazal say.
And that was a difficult decision.
It says the Gemara didn't listen to many of them. So it says in the Gemara they didn't pay attention. They were not intimidated. They were not intimidated by Shlomo HaMelech's appearance. So what happened next? Their benches were singed. A fire came out of heaven and singed their benches, which was a sign that you watch out, you're playing with fire, by saying that Shlomo HaMelech has no chelek in Olam Haba. V'lo hishkichu aleha. They didn't pay attention. What made them change their mind? The pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech himself wrote, Yotza Baskel, the Amal of Baskel came forth and quoted this pasuk. This pasuk came out of heaven. Chazisa, did you see an ish mohir b'malachtoi? When you observe, or did you see this individual Shlomo who was mohir, was brilliant b'malachto, and was diligent in his work? Which work? The work of building the Beis HaMikdash. Who was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash? Lifnei Melachim Yisyatzav, he shall stand among the kings. Question mark. So we took a question. Lifnei Melachim Yisyatzav, should you put him with the kings, the other three kings, which have no chelik in Olam Haba? How dare you? How dare you count him among the kings? Baal Yisyatsev Lufnecha Shuchim, he shall not stand before the dark ones, the people, the Hediotos. There were four kings, and there were three kings, and four Hediotos, whom were listed that do not have a chelik mum haba. So Lufne Melachim Yisyatsev, question mark, how do you dare list him among the three kings that do not have a chelik? Baal Yisyatsev Lufnecha Shuchim, he shall not stand either with the four Hediotos, which have no chelik in Elam haba. Why? What's the reason not? Because of the beginning of the pasuk, he was moihir b'melachto, which Chazal elaborated to explain that Shlomo Melech, when he built two major structures in his lifetime, the Beis HaMikdash and his personal palace. How many years did Shlomo spend building the Beis HaMikdash? 7 years. How many years did he spend building his palace? 13 years. Which one? Okay, 12, 13 years. Which one did he build first? First, he built the Beis HaMikdash. First, the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, that was his reward. That was his redeeming merit. And you can imagine all of the different things you can think about Shlomo HaMelech, all of the zchusim were not enough to stand until they came to this zchus that he showed greater honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than his own private malchus by first building the Beis HaMikdash, and furthermore, accelerating. He was in a rush. He was eager to build the Beis HaMikdash and not eager to build his home. His home, he was lazy. It took 13 years, and it was only secondary. And this, the Mefarshim tell us, a very powerful teichachas musar for all of us in Galus, that unfortunately it's much more common that people's private homes are much nicer than the local Beis HaKnesses. There are people who have beautiful, beautiful mansions, and the shul davenin, they can barely afford to pay the rabbi his salary, and the shulas, most shuls are in shambles, and the budget is in the red. So it's a very shocking phenomenon that exists, not just from today. This is something which goes on from time immemorial. People's private homes and their financial standing is always much, much better than the community. Yeshivas are always pleading poverty, mm-hmm. and local shuls and institutions which are essential, the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael, they are always in the red. And why are they in the red? Is there really no money? If there really was no money, we wouldn't see this enormous waste and things that are done that are just off the charts. And who is the first source of this? This very part, this idea is quoted. Shlomo HaMelech, he first made sure the Beis HaMikdash was up and running, and he built it. That was his priority. It was built in 7 years. His home was secondary, and that was the only merit he had, not to be counted among the kings that do not have a chelek in Olam Haba.
Rabbi, I don't understand. He's already gone. He passed away already.
Yeah. We don't know how things work.
I know, I'm saying it's very confusing.
It's very, we don't know how things work.
It was at the time.
At the time that he died, but the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was many. There were many years later. So it could be things change. They always change. Chazal tells us a person has a great, great, great grandson, and he makes a very great Kiddush Hashem, and we can attribute the Kiddush Hashem that a great, 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 great grandson made due to the influence of his great, great, great grandfather. Then that great grandfather is upgraded. They take him.
Neshama should have an aliyah.
Exactly, exactly. Neshama and Rachman and Litzlan, the neshama could have a yerida. That if a neshama, if a descendant of a person does an avera, that can cause a yerida. You don't want to hear about that. The Gemara tells of a story where they were tzaddikim that were in Olam HaEmes for 1,000 years in a luxury suite, and all of a sudden they get a knock on the door.
Eviction notice.
Sorry, buddy, eviction notice. You know what happened today? You had an einikol that was mahapich ka'ara al piv. That's a euphemism, meaning they took the pot and they turned it upside down, meaning that he did a terrible avera and made a chil shem shemayim, and therefore you have to go. So we don't know, we have no idea how these things work, but that's a Gemara, and the Gemara here tells us, if you want a zuchus, you don't have to be better than Shlomo HaMelech, the zuchus you need is priorities. What are your priorities that can serve as a very great limud zuchus? Yeah.
How did you explain the word chashuchim in this context?
Chashuchim in the Mitzudot says shefolim upechusim. The Medrash here says dark.
Yeah.
Darkness.
How about this? Let me suggest
individuals who are dark, yeah.
The blacklisted.
The blacklisted people. There were four hediotos, three kings and four hediotos that were listed that do not have the chelik in Olam Haba. So you want to say that means the blacklisted. Okay, very good. That's very. Okay, so to summarize, basically this pasuk is interpreted in reference to the Ish Bot Mohir. It's either Moshe, Yosef, Shlomo, or Doniel. These were people that were Mohir b'melachto. Moshe was Mohir b'melachto either one or two ways. Either in the building of the Mishkan, he was Mohir b'melachto. I didn't tell you this medrash. It's another medrash. Mohir b'melachto in the building of the Mishkan, and merit for that he received the Torah. He stood lefnei the Melach, the king, which means the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, and did not stand lefnei the Chasuchim. Chasuchim is the Yisrael. Yisro is considered to be blacklisted, dark, because Yisro was an Oved Avodah Zarah. Yisro, until he converted, until he did tshuva, he first was the Kohen Midian. He was a participant with, he served in what?
Ben Puti,
he wasn't necessarily a tzaddikal until later in his life. So Moshe, he left, he abandoned Yisro, he went to come to Lufnei the Melech Malchei Hamelachim, and because Moshe was diligent in Melachto in serving Klai Yisrael, the Midrash specifically applies to the building of the base, the building of the Mishkan. There's another twist on this Midrash, and I'm confusing some of the Midrash, that the Melachim, we don't read in Melachim Ella, don't read it, Melachim is kings. There's only one Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say the word Melachim, we loosely translate to refer to the Melech Malchei HaMelachim. But one of the Midrashim says, don't read it kings, but Malochim. Make believe there's an Aleph, which means the angels. And Moshe, he went to Shemayim to receive the Torah and took the Torah away from the angels in heaven. Because in Shemayim, the Malochim do not eat, do not drink. Okay, so that's another twist on who, what do we refer to Moshe? Is it Moshe Rabbeinu that he built the Mishkan and he did not stand before the Chashuchim with reference to Yisro? He went to the Malochim in Shemayim. Or is the passing reference to Yosef HaTzadik? He was diligent in his Malocha. He was not Nichshol in Eishes Potifar, and in merit for that, he stood Lifnei the king. He was the Yotza Lifnei Paro. He stood before the king. He was the Mishnah Melech, and he did not remain in the dungeon with the Chashuchim, the dark people of Egypt. Seemingly, that's what it means. The people he would have ended up spending the rest of his life with the low lives in Egypt. He was lifted from that in merit for being Oymed in the son of Eishes Potifar. A third in Medrash, as we said, it's very important for Nagei Halacha L'Maaseh for Purim, is Doniel. Doniel was the one, and we learned, we discussed this 2 days ago, was the one that laid the foundation for the miracle of Purim. Esther, according to some of the commentators, only had the courage, had the chizuk, the strength to go to the palace of Ahasuerus and survive, only because she built because she had a precedent. Daniel, if Daniel, we take it for granted today. Today, what's the big deal for a frum Jew, for a religious Jew to go and serve in the cabinet of the President of the United States? Okay, Jack Lew. Jack Lew is the Secretary of the Treasury, is that correct? And he's a Shomer Shabbos. Okay, and he's not the first one. There are other Shomer Shabbos that are very high position in government. So today it's no big deal. You can serve. You can serve Mamish, Mishnah Lamelech. You can talk to the President of the United States every single day in important matters and be a Shomer Shabbos. But this is something we take for granted. But in ancient times, are you talking? Could it be that a person, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the ruler of the non-free world. Okay? The ruler of the non-free world was Nebuchadnezzar. He controlled the entire world. Okay, is it possible to have a person that shomer Torah mitzvahs and serve before? Impossible. You gotta be out of your mind. You can't do it. Doesn't exist. Who was the first one to break the ice? Who does Jack Lew attribute his koyach to serve? Daniel. He was the first person to serve as a servant lifnei the king, a non-Jewish king, and survive and thrive. What? So maybe yes, you can say, but it's a different time. It's a different timeline. It's a different time. Yosef is before Matan Torah. Yosef is before Matan Torah. It's a different type of tkufa. But we'll talk about it in the modern world.
Yeah.
Okay, let's use that term. Let's use the term loosely. In the modern world, who was the first one? Daniel. Now, all of a sudden, Esther, they're taking women to go to the palace. A nice Beis Yaakov girl is going to be able to be in the palace? It's impossible. Who did Esther receive her koyach from? Daniel. Daniel did it, she can do it. And she did. And not only did she do it, she saved Klal Yisrael. The Medrash interprets this in reference to, this possible reference to Daniel. He is the Ish Mohir, Bimelachto, the first one in the modern world to serve for a secular king. And the merit, Lefnei Melachim Yisyatzav, and the merit of that, he stood before the Lefnei Yisyatzav, Baal Yis, and he stood, Baal Yis Lefnei Chashuchim. Ultimately, he didn't have to remain there. When the Vuchanetzah, the Malchus, collapsed, and it was given to Koresh, the Persians, and Koresh was in charge. Koresh says, you know what? You, Daniel, can go back. His name was changed to Sheshach. You can go back and you can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It was Daniel that led the way. There was Nehemiah. There was Ezra. They came much later, of course. But Daniel was the one, according to Chazal, who was the one that was the in charge of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That was in reward for his diligent work of being Mekadesh Shem Shvam in the palace of the king.
Where's that from?
This Medrash is in the Pesikta Rabasi, Perek Zayin. The Chazisa Ishmor B'Malachto is Zedoniel. This is Doniel. And it goes on to elaborate, and then it says here at the end that in reward for this, these various ideas, he built the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we've gone through the different individuals, and of course, this other interesting chazal of Shlomo HaMelech, his merit, his saving grace, is his priorities. His priority was Hashem and Klal Yisrael, not his personal wealth and his assets. Okay, this concludes Perek Chof Beis. Now we go on to Perek Chof Gimel. Perek Chof Gimel, it appears to be, according to Rashi and the Midrashim, all about the study of Torah. And according to the Pshat, it refers to dealing with stingy people. To stay away from stingy evil. Let's right away see. Pasuk Aleph Perek Chof Gimel Ki Seishev Lilchaim Es Moishel. When you sit down to dine, Lilchaim means lechem. Lechem means bread. To break bread. Im es moshel with a ruler simply means you have a dinner, a state dinner with the President of the United States or with the Prime Minister of an important country. Bin tovin es asher lefanecha. Bin is a play on the words. Bin tovin. It's two words which mean the same thing. To emphasize, you shall be well prepared. Don't come to the palace. It's not often you have a chance to meet with the president of a country, prime minister of a country. If you have a meeting with a person who's in the position of power, your words should be measured. You should prepare very, very well. Contemplate. What?
It says tovin.
Tochin. Okay, that's a drush. That's if you would change, but it's not a kivuch sivir. Okay, that's an idea, but prepare, to prepare. Okay, that's an idea. But simply means tovin. Tovin means to understand. And bin, same sharesh beis nun, means bina, understand. The combination of these two words, which pretty much mean the same thing, mean you shall take to heart and fully absorb the significance of this event of es asher lefanecha, what is before you. This is a very good idea for Netanyahu. Is coming to Congress on Tainis Esther. He has a chance to speak, not just to Congress. By speaking to Congress, this is an extremely high profile. The whole world is listening. And March 3rd is Tainis Esther.
Tainis Esther.
Tainis Esther. The whole world is listening. The whole world is listening. The editorials,
except for Obama.
No, so they say it's collapsing. If you read the latest news is that there's a lot of pressure. A lot of the Democrats are under a lot of pressure from their constituents.
Right.
You want us to get reelected? You better do what we want. So read the latest news. I saw last night that a lot of what Obama and the administration is trying to manipulate is not working in their favor. But it's a very powerful thing when you sit lilchem es Moshe. That's really what's happening. Okay, here it's to break bread, but it's the same idea. When you have an audience with a Moshe bin Tovin, pay close attention. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and you shall fully absorb and understand es asher lefanecha, what you have in front of you. Be extremely careful. Now, the translation I told you is not what the Mitzvah is about to say. I told you the translation, which is pretty much based on the Mamloes and other commentators. Let's just see now what the Mitzvah, he goes off on an entirely different approach, which the theme which carries him through the entire perek.
So how would the Moshe interpret the Netanyahu told Obama publicly?
I don't know.
Okay.
He learns Tanakh. Netanyahu, he has a chavivus for Tanakh. He learns with his grandchildren. They study for the Chidona Tanakh together. Do you know that? Netanyahu, so maybe you learned this past. I don't think they don't only have
his
wife's family. Okay, let's see. Kisei Shev Lilchem, let's see the Mitzvahs again as an entirely different interpretation. Kisei Shev Lilchem, Kasher Teshev Lecho Lechem Im Hamoshel, Bo Hubal, an Amoshel Bo. So over here, according to the Mitzvahs, the word Moshel doesn't mean a world leader, it means the person who's in charge. Who's in charge? Whoever is paying for the food. If your boss takes you to a restaurant and he says, come on, let's go out for lunch. I have to speak to you about something. Probably wants to fire you. He wants to lay you off. So he come, let's have a chat. Let's go out to lunch. He says, the Moshe here, the person who's in charge, who's paying for the food. That's what the Mitzvah says. The one that is in charge of the food, the Moshe Ba, who bal hasud, the one who is the owner of the meal. Bin Tovin. What do these two words here mean? Bin Tovin. Tain Datecha. Apply yourself to understand what is happening before you. Whole different pshat. Does the Baal HaBayis really want to feed you? Is he a miser or is he a generous person? If the Baal HaBayis is a generous person, he loves to have guests. It's the greatest pleasure for him to serve his guests. Ah, wonderful. But if he really doesn't want, he resents the fact that he has to support you, then it's poison. The food that he's serving you, no matter how good it tastes, it's poison. If the Baal HaBayis is the one that pays your meals, doesn't want to do it, then the best is, the pots go on to say, you better starve. Better starve than take food from a person who does not want to give it. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, Kisei Shev Lulchaim Lechol Bin Tovin Tein Libcho Lodas Mihu Im Einoi Tzara O Yofa. Rashi learns the same thing as the Mitzudos. When you sit down to a meal, you shall understand, you shall know in advance, is the host generous or is the host stingy? Pasuk Beis.
And nobody learns the word Lilchaim to go to war.
Lil kisei shev to go to war is milchama. Lashon milchama bread. They do say in general that bread, the word lechem means is related to the word milchama because you fight for bread. You go to war over bread. The most basic thing a person goes to war for. Ki lo yal lechem levada yichiyada. But that's the point. But bread is what it's all about. Today, it's a new thing. This is a new phenomenon today, the fighting over water. Yeah. Right? Wars are going
to be the wars of
the future. But Baruch Hashem, they have a lot of technology. Things are changing because they have technology where they're able to sanitize. It's new technology which might change everything. Right, so that's Israel is very big into this. Israel has technology. They just sold. What did they sell to? They sold their technology to a country recently. But bin Tov. So Lucham, no, I did not see. Maybe there are interpretations. Ki says in Lucham, and you go to war. I mean, if you go to war with a Moshel, I didn't see. Maybe you're right.
Be prepared.
What goes on? Okay, I could be. I didn't come across it, but a symbol here, according to the Mesuzah Rashi, means if you're sitting down to eat, lucha means lechem. You're sitting down to eat, so you shall prepare. Now, okay, well, let's read another pasuk, and we'll come back to the Medrash because the Medrash really puts the pasukim together. Pasuk days, v'samta sakin bilo echa. Put a knife to your throat. In other words, in Baal Nefesh, if you care for your neshama, Baal Nefesh, you are a holy person. If you take things seriously, then put a knife to your throat. It's an expression meaning don't let the food down your throat. Better you should stab yourself and cut your throat than allow the food to pass. When the Hashem wanted to protect Gan Eden, Hashem put in front of Gan Eden the kruvim with an lahav misapeches, a turning blade, rotating blade, rotating blade. That is an expression. You can't have a better precedent for that. Don't enter. There were no stop signs or do not enter signs in front of Gan Eden after the Chet Eitz Hadas. There were rotating blades. Rotating blades is symbolic of don't enter. If you enter, you'll get chopped up. You're going to get cut up. So here it's an expression. Put a sakin by bilo echa. There should be a rotating blade in front of your throat, meaning don't enter. Don't allow the food down your throat because you have taken note that your host is stingy. He is a miser. He does not want to feed you. Mitzudas pasuk beis v'samta rotz loymar. Ulai tisponim. We're eating a lot of words into the pasuk because the pasuk does not tell us exactly what happened. All the time the pasuk alpha was, you should pay attention and you shall take note. Is he generous? Is he stingy? So the pasuk does not tell us that he's generous. That we have to read into the psukim. If he's generous, of course, proceed, enjoy the meal. But reading this into the pasuk now, if you detect that the host is stingy, rotza loymar ulai tisponim badavar the yitiv lucha. You will pay attention, and you will come to the conclusion that your host is stingy, and therefore the yitiv l'chol l'chasim sakin b'beis sabli will be good. It will be preferred for you to put a sakin. Now, notice we are more familiar with sakin with a samach as a knife, and for whatever reason, the samach and the samach. So, but for whatever reason, it's very common in nach is where the letters are interchanged. The sin is interchanged with the samach, the beis sablia. Put it near your throat, a rotating sword by your throat, meaning it's an expression, better not eat with your host. If you have a wise neshama that detects ra, that is limos bra. I once heard this is a very interesting thing. I once heard, it's very controversial, is that, you know, today there's a trend where there's an expectation almost is where people, they get married, young people get married in the yeshiva world, their father-in-law supports them. Their father-in-law supports them for a period of time until they can stand on their own. But
30, 40 years or
like whatever. But that's only. And people tell this, don't, that's the way the world is today. That's how it is today. You get very young, and your shver will support you, and then you'll go get a job. You'll figure out how to make parnasa. That's all fine and good if the shver has hana supporting. If he has the money. No, it doesn't mean that he has the money. If he has the pleasure, and he doesn't have the money. It's a whole different attitude. But if you have, you're in a person in a position where you know, it's not just that he has the money, because you have multi-millionaires that don't want to give, that it's just against their nature to to support it. Why should I support you? I worked hard for this money. I worked hard. I should go support you. No one supported me. If a person finds himself in that attitude, that position, no one has control over what happens to them in life, then the pasuk here is telling, and I once heard someone speaking about this, is it's a poisonous situation. If you are in a position where you're supported, you're being supported, and you know that the people that are supporting you, even your parents, even someone who's not married, someone who's a teenager, they don't want to support you. And they have just no choice. They live in a society where it's not acceptable just to abandon. You're in a bad position. It's poisonous to take from someone that doesn't want to give, no matter how much they have, even if they have billions of dollars stashed away. I don't want to give you. I don't want to give you. And listen, too bad you don't want to give me. You have it. You have it. So you might as well. I'm doing you the favor, right? I'm learning Torah. Doesn't work like that. Pasuk here says it beferish. It's mamish explicit in the pasuk. It's poison. Put a knife bilayecha to your throat in bal nefeshata. If you take your life seriously, don't take the people who don't want to give. Okay, now we have here the Rashi. Rashi pasuk beis samta sakin bilayecha bilichayecha against your palate. Imreisa einay tsara al toich al mishelo. If the host is stingy, don't eat. Stay away. In bal nefeshata, im ravosanata, if you are hungry, the toiv leechol, and you're starving, you have a desire to eat, toiv yet litchoiv sakin bein shinecha, better thrust a sword between your teeth. Don't take from one who does not want to give, period. Now, that ends the pshat. Now Rashi is going to quote a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Masechet Chulin. The Gemara talks about this at length. It's a long Gemara in Masechet Chulin. Right away, let's read Rashi. He quotes Rabbeinu Sir Darshu, the Talmud Hayoyeshem Lifnei Rabba Im Yodea Barabba Sheyachziloi Teshuva Al Kol Davar Sheyishalehu. If the student knows that the Rebbe will provide an answer for all of his questions, then Yedaktek V'Yishal Shemu. Also, ask away, shoot away, ask all the questions you possibly want. V'Imlav, if not Yishtoik, if not, don't ask questions. Now, first is a disclaimer. The type of Rebbe and Talmud relation that we're discussing here in the Pasuk and the Gemara is extremely rare today. It maybe doesn't even exist. Today, we learn everything from books, from Svarim, and Rebbeim are more figureheads, and you don't really have Talmud, a real Talmud Rebbe with Dvar Pshutim. In the time of Chazal, there's something called you learn Roiv Chachmasai from your Rebbe. They weren't a plethora of Svarim, and society wasn't so complex where there are Shi'urim, there are tapes, and there's a structured type of educational system. So you had a Rebbe. You had a personal trainer. A personal Rebbe who taught you Chachma, and the Rabbeim, some of the Rabbeim were G'dolei Hadar. Every Rebbe was a Mushlam, a Sholem, was a complete person. So you have a Rebbe, when you go learn by a Rebbe, the Rebbe made you. He mamish made you. He made you. So you can go, there were different types of Rebbeim to go to. You can go to this Rebbe and that Rebbe, and all the various, and some of the Rebbeim are of the per nature where they talk and you listen. You don't ask too many questions. If you ask too many questions, they'll chop you up. And there are certain Rebbeim, the Adrabba, they love the dialogue. They love the give and take. So it says here, be very careful. If you're a type of student that likes to ask a lot of questions, likes to do a lot of talking, don't go to a Rebbe that doesn't want to give you the answers. Doesn't like that. Because it's a bad relationship, and worse than that, you're going to suffer. Because since it's very likely the Rebbe is a very great person, a very holy person, if he's going to get annoyed with you, we don't know what this means, he can curse you. Or his displeasure can have a very traumatic effect on your neshama. So better stay away. But if you know that this type of Rebbe, he loves the dialogue, and he's able to deal with you, then adarabba, you'll grow and you'll shtaik from that Rebbe. That's really what Rashi says in a nutshell. Yishtak, be silent. So the Gemara, Rashi is paraphrasing the Gemara, and the Gemara explicitly says, get away, stay away, run away. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Let me read you the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Chulin. What? Vav. Vav and Zayin. Vav and I'm sorry. I said Vav and Amid Aleph. It says over here. Vav and Aleph. So the Gemara over here says, B'mikes, what is Pasuk talking about? B'talmud HaYoshlof Nei. We're going back to the two Pasukim. Pasuk Av, Pasuk Beis, the combination of two Pasukim discussing a Rebbe and a Talmud. Kisei Shavulchem Es Moishel. What is the Moishel? A Rebbe. A Rebbe is the Moishel. Is a ruler. Man Malke, who are the kings? Rabbanan. Like I told you, it's impossible for us to relate to this because we don't look at Rebbeim like we look at Rebbeim today. We don't look at Rebbeim, even big Rosh Yeshiva today. We don't look at them like this. They're just figureheads, more or less. Okay, who goes to the shiurim even? How many Rosh Yeshivas today even give shiurim that people come to listen when they give original shiurim, creative, which is a unique derech? I don't know. I don't see this anymore. I never really saw it to begin with. They say this about. They say Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim invented the scientific method. We're dealing over here 150 years, 200 years. The scientific method of Chakira, the Chefsa, the Gavra, and then you have the Briska Derech, and people go to the certain. But they don't have this today. Today you go to yeshiva, you learn, it's a certain environment, a certain style, a certain hashkafa.
What you want is always,
yeah.
In case, don't bring me in swarm. I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh! Okay, but it's a derech. It's a mahalach in learning. There's a certain mahalach in learning. Avyashaber, I think, to a certain degree, had a certain mahalach in learning. A different approach that was unique approach. But derech lal, yeah, you have to put yourself back in the time of Chazal. It's an entirely different culture, entirely different world to relate to what it says here, because these things don't really. You don't see this today, but here the Gemara Masechet Chulin says, "B'talmud Yesh Lufnei Rabba, D'Tanya Rabbi Chiya, He say Shev Lulchem Es Moishel." When you go to break bread, the word Lulchem means talk of war. Lachu Lachem U'Belachmi, right? Go battle over my bread. And what is Chazal Darshan? Torah is Lachem. Lachu Lachem U'Belachmi means Torah is bread, and the Moishel is the Rosh Hashiva, the Rosh HaYeshiva. He's Miberosh. He's in charge. Bin Tovin es Asher Lefonecha. What is the Vesamta Bilo Echa and put a Vesamta Sakin Bilo Echa, put a knife to your throat? What is that in Bal Nevshata? So the Gemara explains, Im Yodea Talmud Rabba Shiyodea Lach Zuleitam, that the Rebbe knows how to answer, he knows how to respond. Bin. So according to the Gemara, ask. Bin means bin. Ask the question.
He knows to learn, so he can answer your question.
I don't mean no. I think it means he knows how to answer to this particular student. You have to read the Gemara with a little bit more flavor. It can't mean the Rebbe doesn't know the answer. He doesn't know the answer, so you shouldn't be going to him to begin with, right? So what kind of Rebbe is he? I think what it means is that he has the patience to answer you. And he has he'll give you the right answer. Every person needs a different answer. Every person has a different way of thinking, needs a different, a custom tailored approach to chinuch. So if the Rebbe is willing to spend the time and the effort to work with the Talmid, bin, comma, according to the Gemara, you have to put a hard break between the word bin and the word tovin. When we started the Pesukim originally, I told you, take the two words, put them together. It's an expression. Bin tovin means you shall fully appreciate what you have in front of you. That's pshat. Drasha, separate the two. Bin means ask the questions. Approach the Rebbe. Develop a relationship. Ask the questions, period. Now we have to add some words into the Pesukim, into the Gemara. Vim lav. But let's say the Rebbe doesn't have the patience for you, doesn't have the time for you, doesn't have the desire. I saw this in my own life, in my own time. I know that it was a certain place I went to. There was a certain Rebbe. There was a certain Talmidim that the Rebbe, he spent all his time on. He spent, and there are other people, psilis. Nothing. Out the door. No desire whatsoever. What? No desire. Out the door. No hope. No potential. I'm not going to waste my time with you. It's very disturbing. But listen, they have the cheshbonus, whatever it is. Not me. There's a vim laf, tovin, if not. The Rebbe has no interest in you. Don't waste your time in such a place. Run away. Run away.
Yeah.
What? Of course. Today, that's what one of the biggest complaints, and there's no loyalty to any institution. A boy learns, and when he gets married, goes to Shidduchim. Where did he learn? On the resume, there are 10 yeshivas he learned in. He learned here for 2 years, 1 year, 2 years.
It's like going from one job to another constantly.
Yes.
There's no, that's one of the biggest complaints. What?
It's a social
resume.
It was not a bad thing in Europe.
Yeah. They used to go from one place to the next place. You got exposure. There are milos and chesronos. There are milos and chesronos. If you go from one place to the other place, it's a milo, you get a little bit of a big picture. But you don't have any stability. In life, it's good. Look, they say in the secular world also, in the secular world, people... I have a friend who works in a law firm, and he told me that the trend now among lawyers, people who are even partners, they go, mamish, musical chairs from one firm to the next firm, more money, this politics, they run every 3 years, they're at a new firm.
It's a loyalty to the career, not to the...
And the old partners who are now retiring in their 70s, they were there their whole life. They were there. The young partners today were in their 40s. They're looking to go from place to place. And the old partners, 70 years old, they've been in one place for 40 years.
But today it's a loyalty to the career, not to the firm.
What? Okay, so I'm loyal to the Torah, the career. I'm loyal to Torah, but not to the Rebbeim. Burnout. I've already got from this Rosh Shiva everything there is to get from him. That's it. On to the next. On to the next.
No.
So is it good or bad? They have milos and chesronos. Everything in life. There's no...
Mara brings a maisha. Do you remember when there was one Rebbe, he was so strict when I think one of his children gave somebody food or something. He brought it to the workers. He literally cursed his son and all that, and he died. And this guy transferred. The Talmud, the Gemara, this is my son, the Gemara. That's how we were with is. He transferred from that Rebbe to another Rebbe. He said, I don't want to be end up...
Yes, that's what it says.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Curse me out.
So that's really what it says. It says over here, here's the point. Break a tavina es asher lefonecha. According to the Gemara, it says vim lav tavnish lefonecha. It's a new expression. Tavin es asher lefonecha. Understand what your obligation is, and the obligation is to get out of here. If this Rebbe is not going to give me the time of day, I'm wasting my time here. What am I getting out of this place? I should understand that this is not my makom. I should go to a new institution, to new teachers. There I will grow in Avodas Hashem. Tovin, understand that it's time to get out of this. Samta sakin b'lecha, the Gemara of the Imbal Nefeshata. It says, b'feirush m'gemara, pirosh heimenu. Ferish Megumara, separate from him. Not like with Rashi. Rashi just says Yishtaik, be quiet. The Gemara is a little more elaborate, and it says get out of there. Ferish Mehenu, leave him and go somewhere else. Okay, so this is the two psukim. Tavil Mashal Samtan Lenech. You should put Pasuk Bey says Samta Sakin Bulech. Don't ask the questions in Bal Nefeshata, and you shall. The second half of the pasuk means, like it says over here in the Gemara, is to actually leave this person. Okay, so that concludes this shot in the pasuk. Don't take gifts from people who don't want to give. Very simple, yet overlooked principle. And the second idea is, don't waste your time in a school, in an institution, in a religious institution where you don't get along with the rabbi. It's just a waste of time. You don't get along with the rabbi, you're just looking for trouble. The rabbi is there to inspire you, to grow, and if you have bad blood between the two, not everyone...
You're going to lose.
Well, there's no, what is there? What are you doing there? Get out of there. Go to a place where you feel comfortable, where you can grow from your teachers. Okay, now, there's another Gemara, which is not... It's off the topic. It's off the topic, but it's the Gemara tells us that it relates to the Kusim. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, the Kusim, Geri Emes or Geri Arayos. We know that Sancheirev was Mabalbel the entire world. Population relocation. The way you control people is after you conquer a country, you relocate them to a new part of the world. And by relocating them, they are unsettled, and it'll take them a generation to first to settle down and to have a yishuv adas before they can think of rebelling against the new king. So Nebuchadnezzar, Sancheiv, when he conquered the Aseres Hashvatim, he took them down to Bavel. He took them down not to Bavel. Where did he take them? Where did he take the Aseres to Ashur? He took them to Ashur. He took them to Ashur, and what did who did he put in the land? He the Kusim. Sancheiv conquered the entire world. He took the Kusim and he brought the Kusim to Eretz Yisrael. The Kusim were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They were very evil people. They were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They were settled in Eretz. They relocated to Eretz Yisrael, take over the land of the Aseres Hashvatim, and they were worshipping idols. Hashem was not pleased that in this holy land, people, foreigners, were worshipping idols. Hashem sent lions. Lions began to eat up the Kusim. The Kusim were frightened. Why is this happening to us? They inquired. They were told by prophets, whoever it was, that this is a holy land and you're not allowed to worship idols in this land. That is Hashem's land. So they decided, if that's the case, we're going to convert. They converted and they became Jews. Okay, and the question was, Machlokes Gemara, were Kusim Geri Enes? Was their conversion sincere? And indeed, they are full-fledged Jews, and later on they mingled with the regular Klal Yisrael, and they intermarried with them. The question was their Geris a full-fledged kosher Geris, or are Kusim Geri Arroyos? The only reason why they converted was a fear of being eaten by lions. So there was an opinion. Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that Kusim Gerei Emes, that their conversion was sincere. The problem was, it once happened. Here is the Gemara, this is the Gemara in Masechet Chulin as well. The Gemara Masechet Chulin, the Gemara tells a story where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Shadrei Rabbi Meir Lasuye Chamra mi Beikusa. He sent him to bring wine from the Kusim. Shaladas Rabbi Meir Geri Emes. And according to Rabbi Meir, there's no problem purchasing wine from the Kusim. The Kusim are Geri Emes. So there's no Yayin Esach. If a guy touches wine, there is an assumption that the guy poured the wine L'shem Avodah Zarah. But being that the Kusim are Geri Emes, the wine is kosher. Okay? So he purchased wine, Gary. I'm.
You know, the question is if the first generation maybe is questionable, the next generation.
Oh, that's what happens. That's exactly what the Gemara really says. But Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that they were true Jews. They were Jews. So what happened? He went to the boy, he purchased wine. As Rabbi Meir was returning home with his purchase, he met a sava. Chazal tells us anytime it says with sava in the Gemara, it refers to Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi met him there and he said to him, this pasuk. Eliyahu Hanavi quoted to Rabbi Meir the pasuk, oh, Rabbi Meir, I have a message to tell you from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mishlei, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Beis. Go to the Kollel. See what they say. V'santa sakin b'loy echa in bal nefesh ata. Have a nice day. And he left. So the question was, what did he mean to say? He was giving him a message, don't drink the wine. Even though indeed they were Geri Emes, as Mr. Marilla says, it may indeed be they were Geri Emes, but they went back to their old ways. They went back to their ways, they became Ovid of the Zara, and Halacha L'Maaseh, it's a very big problem that we, most poskim can hold that a Jew that's not religious has the status of a non-Jew with regard to Yayin Esach. So if you invite a person that's not yet religious to your home on Shabbos, you should be careful not to have a wine that's not Mevushal, because if they touch the wine, it is a very big problem. Shabbos Project, Parashas Noach, last year, right? They had during the lectures to get everyone ready. All the people that were participating and inviting their non-religious neighbors and workers and friends to come to their home, there was a whole session of certain Rabbanim, Rabbi Leif, the Aguda, he gave a session. In Wayu, there was a session. What are the laws that you should be aware of when you invite non-religious people to your home for Shabbos? Not everyone always has this opportunity. So one of the things is that don't have Yayin that's not Mavushal, because according to Benny Paiskim, a non-religious Jew, it's Yayin Esach.
Right, I don't care. So if you amplify that, so if you do not religious, I would not sure have the same status as
because there's a that's the halacha. That's it's because there's a concern that he's not practicing. He's not a practicing Jew. Well, b'zman hazeh anyway, it's not real avodah zarah. B'zman hazeh, this is a halachic principle. B'zman hazeh, even the goyim don't do avodah zarah. What?
The winery in Israel. At the end of the tour. They sit you down with wine.
And they give you wine.
So the person that's serving you the wine has to be from
you. Yeah. Shom Shabbos.
That's what Kedem doesn't give us.
Or at least traditional. Okay, there are different there are different versions of what's called religious. I saw recently the statistics in Israel of who everyone identified. You'd be shocked. A very small percentage of the Israelis identify themselves as secular, completely irreligious.
What percentage?
It's something like 20, maybe less than 20%. The vast majority, 80% of the Israelis, only 10% identify themselves as Haredi. Maybe even less. Haredi. Everyone else, traditional, various madrigals. It's very confusing, all the various madrigals. But they acknowledge the Shomer Shabbos to some degree. They're traditional. They light candles. So that already, to a large degree, takes them away, according to most poskim, from the status of being Yeno Yeinesach, of Magoy Zoser. You gotta be mamish from that 20% or below. I'm an atheist. I'm secular. I'm a non-believer.
So none of them are Jews. Food is okay, but the wine is not okay.
Every halach is different. Yeah, I can't generalize. I don't know all the details.
Yeah,
give tours.
They don't give
tours.
You want to come? No.
Because the Yayin Esach, you're dealing with irreligious Jews coming in and they're touching the vats.
Chumdim establishes for Bishul.
Bishul, there's kashrus issues for Bishul. Not that there's Bishul Akum. No, Bishul Akum has to be a non-Jew mamish. I believe so, right? Only by Bishul has to be completely religious.
You have a problem.
Yeah, you have a help. So you don't have, you know, you should not have at a public event if you don't have yayin that's not mavushal. Today it's not.
Haters don't use anything that is not.
It's not mavushal. Yayin mevushal is only among the club. Only at the Kiddush club you can have yayin that is not mevushal. Okay, let's go further. Okay, he met Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi said, according to this pasuk, put a knife to your throat. In other words, he told him, don't drink the wine. So he was shaken up. In Baal Nefesh Ata, what happened? Holach Rabbi Shimon Elazar v'sibud v'ram l'fnei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he repeated what happened. V'gozer aleihem, and they went, and the Gemara basically says they made an investigation. They launched this Saba, this Eliyahu HaNavi, who told them, listen, I know what you're doing, you're buying wine from the Kusim, and yeah, I know your halacha, I know the rule that Geri Emes, they were sincere Geris, watch out. What do you mean watch out? There's a tip, a whistleblower. They launched an investigation, and in fact, they discovered that secretly they were worshipping idols. They were worshipping idols, they went back to their own ways, and at that point in time, they were goyzer, that even though it may very well be that Kusim are Jews, but from Nikanu Lahabol L'chola Adeos, we treat them like non-Jews.
What's the halacha? Well, I'm curious, like, with a group like the Moranos, where publicly they worshipped Christianity?
I don't know, the Moranos are very complicated. I think it's machlokas apayiskin. We have a lot of difference of opinion with regard to people in that situation. You can generalize. They're all different types of Moranos. Morano means a pig, right? It means a pig.
Right,
it means a pig. It's not a nice term.
They prefer the term conversos.
Conversos. Netanyahu's father. was one of the big world experts in the Maranos. One of the biggest experts, if not the biggest. He passed away. He passed away recently. He was one of the biggest world experts. He had a chiddush which was not accepted. A lot of the people said, "What was this chiddush?" He rejected a lot of the common beliefs about the Maranos. I don't remember all the details. Just Google it. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, pasuk Gimel. Al tisa. This is a continuation of the previous theme. Al tisa lemat al myself. Vulechem kizavim. Do not have a desire. Continuing the theme we learned before, a person that does not want to give, stay far away. Do not have a desire. Okay, the word tisav means desire. Lemat al myself. His delicacies. Vehu lechem kizavim, it's false bread. The bread is not bread, which it's an expression, which is true bread. Gimel mitzudos al tisav lemacholav. Do not desire his food. Hamut onim v'toyvim, which is delicious and good. Vehu ratzolem macholav koizev bipulasai. It's a lie. The fact that he's giving you bread really is a lie for his true intent. What does that mean? Ki derech hamachal lehavri guf adam. Normally, food gives a person good health. V'lo chein chabo mibal ayin hara. Okay, he's saying something very mystical. I don't know how little he means to be taken. Is that if a person gives you food with an ayin hara, he's stingy. That food will not satiate you. Will not give your body. Will not serve as a bracha to your body. Rashi al tisav lemata myself ella proish mimenu. Distance yourself from a person that does not want to give you. V'lech lefnei ra. So Rashi over here is continuing the previous interpretation. So he really does say, be quiet before the Rebbe that doesn't want to answer you, and instead find yourself a Rebbe that does want to pay attention to you. V'lech lefnei rav hogun v'lo tivayishehu b'sheles achash lo yeda lohoshef. Don't embarrass the Rebbe that doesn't know how to answer. If you want to learn very silly of a Rebbe, the Rebbe doesn't know the answer. He poshut is ignorant. He knows certain things, but other things he does not know. So don't start to challenge him with things that he does not know, because you're going to embarrass him. Instead, you really have real serious questions. You go ask a specialist or a person that can help you. No one knows everything, especially today. Today, everyone has a specialty. There are certain people that love Chosha Mishpat. So there are Chosha Mishpat experts. There are people that love Hilchas Shabbos. There are people that love Hilchas Erevin. Everyone has their specialty. And if you're going to go a person who's a baki in Hilchas Erevin, you're going to go ask him about your idea. He's going to look at you, "Sorry, buddy, that's not my expertise." Every yav, there are certain people. Okay, so everyone has their specialty.
If he answers any question,
yeah,
he doesn't know, because he doesn't know. I'll get back, I'm
going to
find out.
Okay, so that's it. Simple questions. But you're going to ask him, you know, we have a factory and we're producing a new exotic food. So the El Rabbi will say, "Listen, you know, you got to go to the big, I don't know, this is my field. You got to go higher. I know my father, they used to ask my father to make an Eruv in here, like you mentioned with by the apartment buildings. The group of people in the apartment buildings on 16th Street that did not use the Erev and Flatbush because they were from the group of people that followed Rav Moshe's Pesach. But they wanted to make an Erev around the building. They wanted to make an Erev in that corner, 16th Street. So they asked my father, and Young Israel, could he help them? So my father says, I just know the basics. This is not my expertise, but I'm gonna help you. So he called Rabbi Bluth. Rabbi Bluth was a very big Talmud of Rav Moshe. Rabbi Bluth was a mumchen hilchas. Rabbi Bluth came down, and they brought down an expert, Rav Shimon Eider. He was from the biggest of the big. He made Erev all over the United States. I once went to a seminar on hilchas Erev by Rav Herschel Schachter, and every other word of Herschel Schachter was quoting Rav Shimon Eider. He basically said that Rav Shimon Eider, he made all over the entire United States, all the metropolitan Eruvim. He was the one that was that established them and went down to check them. Set the standards. Okay, pause it. Yeah.
Specialization is nothing new. I mean, in the days of the Talmud, there were specialists, people who
Rav and Shmuel.
Who were
Isser v'Heter. Right. Like, for example, we always pass like Rav B'dini M'moinos, and we pass it like Shmuel and Dini Issa V'Heter, because that was their specialty. Rav was a specialist in Chosha Mishpat, and Shmuel was a specialist in Yerodea. So that's why the Gemara says, exactly, so they were specialists in those days as well. Problem is, if you're a specialist, you're lacking, Divrei Torah Aniyim B'mokim Echad V'Ashim B'mokim Acher, like the doctors, everyone says a doctor. The doctor only knows how to deal with the foot, doesn't know how to deal with the hand, with the heart. You're not a full doctor, because everything is interrelated. If someone's foot is bothering them, maybe that's a symptom that there's something much worse, there's something in the other part of the body.
Very long time out in the field studying the
science,
the animals, and you knew all trafers and all that. You learned from practical hands-on experience.
Okay, so let's see. Pasuk one, pasuk. It's very good. Pasuk dal tiga lehashir. Okay, one more pasuk. Don't try to become wealthy. Don't try to become wealthy. Mibinoscha chadal. From your own understanding, you shall realize that it's not a pursuit that is worthy. It's not kedai to devote your life to achieve wealth. Parnasa is very good, but to become a multi-billionaire, mibinoscha, from your own understanding, chadol, separate yourself from that pursuit. Let's see the mitzvahs, pasuk dalet, but al tiga laharbos, esik laharbos, do not, tiga means the omel, do not toil with intensity, laharbos, home, to become extremely wealthy, what? To toil. Don't tiagea. Don't toil to become lahashir. Laharbois hon mibinos chadana. What is that? It's a very difficult expression. What's a laimar? Im mibli atzosi. Shlomo HaMelech says this is a shocking thing that he says. You don't need me to tell you that it's not a good idea to devote your life to the pursuit of money. I'm the Chochem Mikol Adam, so you're coming to me for advice. There are certain things you don't need books to tell you. You don't need teachers. There are certain common things, things that are common sense. You don't need me to tell you. Maybe Noschem, your own understanding, what's the Loimar, im mibli atzasi, without my advice, chadal mizeh, stay away from this. Mibinas atznecha, from your own understanding, you should understand that it's not a good idea to have too much money. Ki ma te'eles bimarbes achon, what benefit is there to the abundance of great wealth? Okay, easier said than done. Test me, right? I'll go for it. And a chanami, all right. Now, this okay. Before we get, let's see. Okay, Rashi, quick. Rashi was in pasuk dalid al tiga lehashir la'asoyz kisoscha chavilas kisoyv tishkochena. Rashi says we're not only discussing the Mamu, discussing Torah. Don't try to learn too much. Try to have to review. If you try to learn kol tarkula al regalachas, one day you learn the whole shas. Chavilas, bundles and bundles, you're going to just read up daf, and not understand a word that you're saying. That's not a derech of limud. You have to understand and conquer the Torah, small pieces, one at a time. Lasses kisascha your Torah, chavilas, big bundles. That's not a mahal. Chisav tishkochen, you're going to forget where you're going to be left. You have to go and learn in small bits and pieces. To conclude, one beautiful word I saw in the article, he says, I don't remember who he says this from. Al tigal lehashir, don't try to become too wealthy. Why? Because then maybe nasa chadal, you're not going to have time to learn. Maybe nasa means people that are very busy managing their money, they don't have time to focus on bina. It's not okay, going to the mitzvah. It means it's simplistic. It's common sense. Chadal. Stay away from such a pursuit. The word chadal is modifying lahashir. Stay away from the pursuit of being lahashir because, mibinascha, from your own common sense. The Jewish is, if you have too much money, so what do you do the whole day? You gotta manage the money. I have to build houses, I have to deal with maintenance men. Malm says that. You gotta deal with your money. You're busy managing the money, talking to the stockbroker, talking to the bankers, talking to the Baal Malacha. Maybe not a chadal. You're not going to have time to learn. What are you going to take away from this world when you leave this world? What are you going to have in your mind and your neshama? You got to have some Torah knowledge also. So better have less, have enough parnasa, and have time to learn than pursue to soon have it all. The truth is, most people will tell you that, you know, today, if you don't spend the whole day working, you're not going to even have parnasa. You're not going to even have the basic needs. So, you got to, of course, take this with a grain of salt. All right, we'll stop over here.